Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open the eyes of our understanding as we together get into your word. We love you, Jesus, and thank you for continuing the good work you began in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our main verse for this message is going to be 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, and it says, every man that has this hope, he's speaking in context of the return of Jesus, which is the blessed hope of believers, Titus 2:13. So he says, and every man that has this hope in him, the hope of Christ's return, purifieth himself, even as he, the Lord, is pure. How many people know by a show of hands that God is holy, holy, holy? So God is holy, and he says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord, Hebrews 12:14. The first thing we notice in 1 John 3:3 is that we can know if we and others are actually living with the hope of Christ's return in our hearts. If we are living with Jesus as our first love, by whether or not we are making ourselves pure before him, even as he is pure. Holiness simply means pure or sanctified, clearing out everything that defiles us in his holy eyes is the sign that we are living in fervent expectation of the Lord's return for his bride. The scripture says in Revelation 19 that Christ's wife hath made herself ready. And so this is the earmarked fruit of the heaven-bound bride of Christ, that she is making herself ready to meet the bridegroom. If someone is actually the true bride of Christ, they clearly prove such in that they are making themselves ready. They are purifying themselves to meet the bridegroom. Paul said that we are espoused, presently espoused or engaged to Christ the bridegroom.
Think about that.
So we are not yet married to Christ, and we will not be if we are not purifying ourselves before him by loving him supremely. How many people know that every engagement does not result in a marriage? When Jesus saves us, we're engaged to be married to him, and he requires that we endure to the end of our lives on this earth with him, purifying ourselves even as he is pure in order to be married eternally to him and with him.
Many today who claim to be saved are like so many today who, when they are courting or dating someone and want to be married to them, they bring nothing to the table. They contribute nothing. They only take from that person. And so we have it with so many who claim to be saved. They want Jesus to give them everything, including the eternal crown of glory, to be with him in heaven, and yet they're not willing to take up the cross on the earth. And that's because they simply do not love the Lord and are completely self-deceived. And if they don't repent, they're going to hear the words, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels, Matthew 25. Remember, it has wisely been stated that lust gets and love gives. Today, without even trying to observe it, we see so many women who want to be married to a man only for their own self-serving purposes. When they bring nothing, they don't even have the intention of bringing anything to the table. They don't cook, they don't clean. They want everyone around them, and namely this man whom they pretend to love, to cater to them. It's all and only about them. And yet they expect a good man to marry them, which is a complete delusion and a trap. And that's how we have it in the professing body of Christ. We have so many people who adopt to the eternal security heresy from hell so that they can justify having no, absolutely zero personal responsibility and accountability to contribute to that relationship for which Jesus died to give them. Today, regrettably, we have so many women who only want a man for what that man can give to them, with no intention to be a good, godly, God-fearing woman of integrity who loves her man no matter what, who serves, reveres, and respects her husband as his helpmate, no matter how good the finances are going or not going. There are many who profess the Lord as their Savior, and yet they are in reality fair-weather saints. They only, quote-unquote, love the Lord when it's convenient, when things are going well, as opposed to Job, who said, "Though you slay me, Lord, yet will I trust you." Job 13, verse 15. So they are only pretending to be saved to rescue themselves out of hell, but they're not willing to diligently seek to serve, to love the Lord, and to serve Him on His stated terms, which begins with repentance and denial of self, disowning self, taking up the cross daily, and following Jesus to the end, enduring to the end in the crucified life. Luke 9, 23 and 24. Luke 13, verse 3. Repentance and the crucified life. These are essentials to walking with Christ, to being one of His wise virgin believers who endures to the end on His terms with Him in an abiding vital union, and therefore is accepted into the glorious marriage supper of the Lamb, Revelation 19, as a pure and unspotted bride. The bride of Christ described in Holy Scripture, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, Ephesians 5. And even as Christ, the bridegroom, is going to reject so many, he foretold, who claim Him as their Lord and Savior, they're going to even say on Judgment Day, "Lord, Lord," claiming Jesus as their Lord, all the while believing that they were His. And yet they're going to be rejected. "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. You are a worker of iniquity." Matthew 7, Matthew 25. And it's the same thing with men today. A good man doesn't want a whorish woman. And how much more He who is holy, 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 the Lord Jesus, how much more is He going to reject a fake bride who pretends to be His but lives according to her own set of standards, one who is full of iniquity or lawlessness and the stain and spot of sin on her wedding garment? Jesus said that on Judgment Day, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth not his own will, but the will of my Father which is in heaven," which we have on the pages of Holy Scripture, and therefore there's no excuse. Then He says, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." So even as God is going to reject those who are lawless, they are workers of iniquity, the same is true for the men who reject this type of a woman today, as far as even being a prospect to be His bride. She doesn't come to serve anybody but herself. She has no intention of true repentance and humility and being a helpmeet to that man. All she wants to do, as every fake bride, is to use, to extort, to steal, to take, to abuse that man for her own self-serving gratification, where she's living on her own terms. She's living to please herself. She could care less about anybody except herself. She is a self-serving Jezebel. And even as good men reject these type of women, that's exactly what's going to happen when the Lord judges those who claim to be His church, His bride, and yet live like the world. They live evilly and for their own self-serving gratification and nothing else. Oh, how we can see from the pictures of old alone and from the older people in our lives today that the women back in the 40s and 50s and even 60s, when you see their pictures of how beautiful they are, how thin they are, how crystal clear-eyed they are, how earnest they are, how humble and innocent they are, it makes you long for those days. In comparison to the generation of whoredom that we have been in our rebellion producing over the last several decades against the Word of God, namely Leviticus 19, verse 29, which states, "Do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness." Now here we see God commanding us not to whore or prostitute our daughters to the ways of the world. And that's what we've had happening for generations through the fake pulpits of America and through the false priesthood of so-called pastors in our land. And it's resulted in all the evil that we see and that has come upon us in this last hour before Christ returned, where wicked men, false leaders, have sold out Christ and his body for their own self-serving aggrandizement and gain. Prophetically, the Lord, through his word, warned us that men would be lovers of their own selves. They don't love the Lord, they love themselves. They have a mere form or formula of godliness, as was foretold by the Holy Spirit through Paul in 2 Timothy 3, that men would be lovers of their own selves. They care only about themselves, not anybody else. They just use everybody else around them to get what they want. They're covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such withdraw thyself. For of this sort are they which creep in the houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So even as men were commanded by God not to whore and prostitute their daughters to the ways of the world, so we see that a priesthood of wolves has sold out, has prostituted that which is supposed to be the bride of Christ to the ways of the world.
It seems by the parable of Jesus of the 10 virgins that 10 women were engaged to the bridegroom or were attending a marriage, but only 5 of them made it because only 5 prepared themselves. The parable of the 10 virgins teaches about the spiritual readiness of the true bride of Christ for the return of Christ. The 5 virgins who made it into the marriage supper of the Lamb did so because they filled up their vessels with heaven's oil, which represents our fellowship daily with Christ. Remember, saints, holiness is not the way to Jesus. Jesus is the way to holiness.
And so we should ask ourselves whether or not we are truly loving the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, which Jesus commanded, Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40.
When your vessel is full of the oil of heaven through fellowship, you will be purifying yourself of anything that defiles you in his holy eyes.
1 Chronicles 16:11, "Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually." And that's the only way to be full of the presence of the Lord. and therefore being powered through the day and into eternity one day at a time, trusting and seeking and loving the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That, my friends, is the only way to stay full of the Spirit and the heavenly virtue of the Lord.
Remember, the five foolish virgins were shut out of the marriage chamber because they were not ready to enter in. They weren't purifying themselves. When your vessel is full of the oil of Jesus by fellowshipping with Him, you're going to be one of those who is purifying yourself even as He is pure, and you're going to live ready for His return. There are two ways to purification according to the Bible, at least two. Number one, the precious blood of Jesus. We're cleansed by the blood of Jesus initially and ongoing as we continue to walk in the light with Him.
1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as He, Jesus, is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. Notice it says, if we continue to walk with Him in His light, and that would mean not walking in the darkness of sin. It's only then that we continue to be cleansed after initially being cleansed from our sins by His precious blood. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7.
So, number one, we're purified by the washing, the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. And number two, by the washing of water, by
the Word of God.
The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5 that Jesus is sanctifying and cleansing His body, His bride, with the washing of water by the Word. And then He says the reason why He's cleansing us, as we ingest, we take in His Word and obey it, so that we can be presented to Him holy and without blemish. Ephesians 5. Remember, the definition of holiness simply means pure and sanctified or set apart to the Lord. Holiness happens through relationship with Christ and not by just self-works or self-will. The Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And so that's what we're going to do here in a few minutes. We're going to pray together about this truth. How many people know that it's through the crucified life that Jesus mandated that we are overcomers in Christ? Remember, saints, biblically, your present spiritual state is what matters most to God. God can make us holy as He is holy, as we adhere to what He says in His Word. We must cry out to God to make us holy as He is holy.
The following is a prayer with a lady who is repenting and receiving Jesus during the ministry time with the group in Florida that we minister to each and every week. Okay, so in this prayer, I was leading her to go before the Lord in repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And so, because the audio was lacking in quality, the only part recorded here in these next couple of minutes is going to be what I was leading this precious lady, who is now a born-again disciple of Jesus, to pray to the Lord. Okay, here it is.
Are you ready to go before the Lord together so we can pray? I want you to say these words after me. I want you to repeat these words from your heart with everything that's in you. Heavenly Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I come before You a sinner. But Lord, I know You sent Your Son to save me. I know that Jesus died and was buried and raised again. Heavenly Father, I ask You to forgive all of my sins now through the blood of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Dear Lord Jesus, please come into my life and take over this moment. Thank You for washing me clean from all my sins in Your blood today, Lord Jesus. I know that I am saved by the blood of Jesus right now. Dear Lord Jesus, please fill me with Your Holy Ghost. Lord, please use me to help others and fill me with Your Spirit, Lord. Thank You for saving me, Jesus. I love You, Lord Jesus. Remember, saints, before we pray
together,
that we're no longer our own, but we're bought with the price of the blood of Jesus.
1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20.
Jesus bought us back. He purchased us back to himself and the Father with his own blood. The Bible says, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. We're going to pray his word as we've seen in his word what his will is for us today. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for finding me and saving me, Lord Jesus. Thank you for continuing the good work you began in my life. I love you, dear Lord Jesus. You must increase, but I must decrease. Lord, please purify my life of everything that defiles me in your eyes. Lord, I know you are holy, and I ask you to make me holy. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and do your work in me. And work through me to help others in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.